I can preach now. I tell you, folks, it's a blessing to come to church week in and week out with things like this happening. It's exciting. I was accused on Wednesday nights of drinking too much Red Bull or something. I get excited. Well, I don't know about that, but I am excited to be here. I'm excited to be a part of what God is doing here. I want to read to you. I'm going to read a lot of Scripture to you and talk less today, and that's always a good thing because the Bible has much more to say, and it can say it much better than I can. I am going to make a few comments. Am I okay, John? Just in and out. All right, I'm sorry. Can everybody hear me? I can't tell. Okay. The first passage of Scripture I'm going to read this morning comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 28 through chapter 22, verse 16. This is a rather long passage, so listen to me as we hear these words. And it's about David, as David was getting prepared to build the temple. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him on the threshing floor of Ormon, the Jebusite, he sacrificed there. For the tabernacle of the Lord and the altar of the burnt offering, which Moses had made in the wilderness, were at that time in the high place in Gibeon. But David could not go there, could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid of the sword of the angel of the Lord. And then David said, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of burnt offering for Israel." So David commanded to gather the aliens who were in the land of Israel, and he appointed masons to cut hewn stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails of the doors of the gates and for the joints, and bronze in abundance beyond measure, and cedar trees in abundance. And the Sidonians and those from Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. Now David said, "Solomon my son is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous and glorious throughout all countries. I will now make preparation for it." So David made abundant preparations before his death. Then he called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, 'You have shed much blood and have made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name, because you have shed much blood on this earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies all around. His name shall be Solomon, for I will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, may the Lord be with you, and may you prosper and build the house of the Lord your God, as he has said to you. Only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding, and give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper, if you take care to fulfill the statutes and commandments and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong, of good cheer, do not fear, nor be dismayed. Indeed, I have taken much trouble to prepare for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000,000 talents of silver and bronze and iron beyond measure, for it is so abundant. I have prepared timber and stone also, and you may add to them. Moreover, there are workmen with you in abundance, woodsmen and stone cutters, and all types of skilled men for every kind of work, of gold and silver and bronze and iron. There is no limit. Arise and begin working, and the Lord be with you." What a passage of Scripture there, of the magnificence of what God can do when people are obedient to Him. You see, Dave, there's two things here. The title of the sermon this morning, such as it is Principles for Building. I think it applies very strongly to us, that if we want our project, our building project, to be a success, that if we follow some simple principles that are put forth in the Scripture, that it cannot fail because God will not fail. The first we see in this passage here, first of all, for David, was that he had a vision for what needed to happen. David had a vision that there needed to be a house, a place, a temple for worship, a place where the tabernacle, no longer to wander, could set in a place for people to come and worship. David had a vision for it. God gave him that vision for it. We need to understand that we must have a vision. I think we're getting a glimpse of it. I think we're getting close to really understanding it. But folks, it has not been totally defined yet as far as I can see, as far as my understanding is. Pray for God's vision, that we have a clear-cut vision and totally understand what God is leading us to do. The second thing in this passage is you see the preparation. Folks, we can't do anything without first preparing. There is great preparation gone into this project here. Over 12 years or more, there have been preparations going on. Money has been being given. People have been being put in place, and God has raised up people that are ready to make this happen at this particular time. I believe that. God can do that, folks. Look what He gave David. Look what David had. I want to share some facts. This is pretty astonishing stuff. We read the Scripture, and you just it don't sink in. 100,000 talents of gold. You know how much gold that is? Let me just give you some facts about that. 100,000 talents. One talent of gold is roughly, depending on what Babylonian or Hebrew or something, there's a little variation in the exact weight, but 75.5 pounds is a talent. That's the weight of a talent. 100,000 talents. 100,000 talents equals to 3,775 tons of gold. 3,775 tons. All right, let me break it down and let me illustrate it another way. I used to load up trucks, tractor trailers, with lumber when I was in the lumber business. And tractor trailers, with flatbed trailers, you could put approximately, depending somewhat on the trucks, about 25 tons, 50,000 pounds, to be a legal limit on a truck to be out on the highway. 25 tons. This would take 151 tractor trailers to haul that gold. 151 tractor trailers. In today's market value, I looked it up on the internet this morning. Google is a wonderful tool. I Googled it, figuring up the math roughly. Actually, my calculator didn't go out to enough numbers, so I had to do some guesstimating on some of it because my brain was not capable of functioning that thoroughly this morning, that early. But that amounts to approximately, in dollars today, $85 billion. $85 billion worth of gold. Silver. Silver. 1 million talents of silver. That means 37,750 tons of silver. The equivalent in tractor trailers to haul it of 1,510 tractor trailers of silver. For a value today on today's market of over $16 billion. In gold and silver alone, God provided David with over $100 billion worth of those two metals. Now, can you imagine that? What preparation, what abundance there was. And then we talk about the iron and the bronze and the cedar and the stones that were provided for it. We can't even, it says too much to even put a figure on. It must have been an awesome sight. They had some kind of storehouses to keep all of that in. What this says is that nothing that God puts His hand upon and gives us the vision to do, He will not allow it to come up short. Folks, we've got to trust God and He will provide. The next principle we have here to begin with, vision and preparation. Our next principle is found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Matthew 27, 24 through 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. Our second principle for building, folks, is that of wisdom. Wisdom must be incorporated into what we're doing. We need to take that vision and the preparation there is and use wisdom in what we're doing and how we arrange things and how we finance things and how we anticipate ministry out of it. We need wisdom as we do it. The third principle found in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 18. 16:13-18. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." The third thing we've got to have there is that we've got to have a confession. The third principle of building, a confession of who it is upon which we will found all of our faith. Confession of Jesus Christ. Jesus as our Lord and Savior. If we cannot confess Christ is the reason for what we're doing this, if that is not the principle behind all of this, if He's not the reason, then we're going to fail. We can do lots of great things here in this church and in our future building over there. We can have senior citizens lunches, which would be a good thing. We can have things that provide some type of daycare or teaching or after school for children, which would be a good thing. We can have sports activities over there where young people and young adults and senior citizens can come and exercise and walk and participate in recreation. That's a good thing. But if we're not doing it with the purpose of Jesus Christ being our Lord and Savior and wanting to reach out and show love and concern for others, then we're just like that person building on the weak foundation that I read the previous passage. It's the fall will be there and it'll be great. We need to make a confession that this is for Jesus Christ what we're doing, nothing else. The next principle, also found in Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 and 13. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it to a den of thieves." Folks, this place is a place, this building, even though it's not a sanctuary where preaching will normally take place week in and week out, it is part of God's house, and its purpose is for worship. Its purpose is for glorification of God. Its purpose will be for edification of those who believe and bringing and showing people Christ. We can never take the sole purpose of what the church is for, to worship, out of it. This house, this place, it will be a place where people can come in contact. What is prayer? Jesus said this is supposed to be a house of prayer. Prayer is a means by which we come in contact and we make a connection with God one-on-one. And that may be by playing basketball or volleyball on Sunday afternoon with a group of people. Or it may be by having a fellowship lunch there with senior citizens. But it's going to be a house of prayer, folks. A place where we can connect with God. Finally, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. You see this passage on our logo that's in our bulletin. Look on the front of your bulletin or your newsletter. We have this passage there. It's kind of been our unofficial theme for this year and for what we're doing. Hear that passage now as I read it to you. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 11. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace which God was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Folks, the foundation's already been laid. We just need to build upon it. We don't need to fabricate something that's not there. We don't need to devise something. The foundation's already laid. Let's build upon Jesus Christ. John, show the logo. We've got a banner that's going to be coming that's going to be hung up in the church in a prominent place. That's it. Christ is the foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:9. You see the hands there in prayer, a house of prayer. The hands lifted up in praise. It's a place where we're going to praise God, and hands clasped together, a place of fellowship where one person reaches out to another. You see the tree there in the cross and growth. We're going to grow as God's people rooted in the foundation of Jesus Christ. Folks, this is a great opportunity for us as a church. It's a great opportunity to be the church in this community. Folks, it's a great opportunity. Let's grow in the grace that God has given us. Let's grow because we've taken that vision that has been given us. Because the preparations have been made. There's been a confession of who it is that we're doing it for and about. And using the wisdom that God has blessed us with. And bathing it in prayer on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Now this morning, as we move outside to actually break some ground, I want to share with you just a little bit about what we're going to do. I'll have a few short readings to share. And then I have a number of people that are going to actually come up and turn a shovel full of dirt. But after that's over with, I want each person here to feel free to come up and to actually put their hands on a shovel, to turn a spade full of dirt, and to take part and make that as part of your commitment that I'm putting my hand to this job and I will not turn away from it. We're going to have some people, and because the weather is a little cool, Mr. Lloyd is already headed out there. He's going to be part of it. I'm going to share with you just exactly who is going to do what. On the very first person, I will read some, and I'm not going to repeat this out there. That's why I'm saying it in here. Mr. Lloyd and Kelly Deal will come up, and they will turn a spade full of dirt. And the reason that they have been chosen, and the reason I've asked them, Mr. Lloyd, the oldest active member in the church, and Kelly, the mother of our newest member of the church, Lily, who's just a few months old, from almost 99 years old to 3 months old. That's the span of what we are looking at of who to minister to. Everyone across the board. Young, old, and everything in between. This is not about one particular group, but about the whole board. The second person that's going to come up is a representative of the children and youth. Tyler Sellers is going to come up and turn a shovel. Because if the church, this represents the future. Our young people are the future, folks, and this is going to be a place where we have the opportunity to really be in ministry to the youth and young folks in our community. Then we're going to have Mr. Russell. Mr. Bill Russell is going to come up. I hope he's going to go out there with us and do that. That's my plan. Mr. Russell is going to do that because he represents the history of this church. Mr. Russell was the chairman of the building committee for this sanctuary that we're sitting in right here today. He was the chair for the fellowship building. And he oversaw quite a lot that happened in the life of this church. I think it's only fitting and appropriate that he be involved in turning a spade full of dirt and getting this project kicked off. The next three actually are various groups in the church. The first one is the Fab Women. Beth is going to come up and do that, turn the shovel for them. It's because of representing the vision of the church. I don't know of any group that's been more influential since their founding than the Fab Women as far as being initiating work and things that have gone on in the church and programs. Vision is what it's about. The next group will be Louise, will be doing that representing the WOW Women. No group is more mission-minded and does more in the field of missions than this group. The church, we must be about missions in what we're doing. The next group is the United Methodist Men, and John Hall is going to do that one. For us as United Methodist Men, it seems to be more about service and about doing for someone and other people and reaching out and helping when there is a need in that sense. Service is what we are about in the church. And finally, I'm going to have Chip come up as chairman of the building committee. And if these different groups and different committees want to come up all at the same time, please do. But Chip's going to come up representing all the preparations and all the work that have to go in to something like this happening. This morning, it's about to begin. Let's look to God. Let's seek Him out. Let's seek His will for what we're doing. Let's catch the vision that God has for us. Now I invite you to go out. You can go out the back door and go around. We're going to be right at the end of the fellowship hall. If you want to go down the hallway and through the fellowship building and go out there, please do so.